Thanks for joining us on KPUPLP Patagonia 100.5 FM Community Talk. I'm your host, Julie Holding. Community Talk airs every other week, alternating with Charlotte Lowe's show at the same time, 5 p.m. Sundays on KPUP, Patagonia Community Radio. Now, I'm pleased to welcome Abby Zeltzer. Abby has served as Patagonia's librarian for many years. Welcome, Abby.
Hi, Julie. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here this evening.
It's great to have you, and I've been looking forward to this for some time, and was sorry we had to postpone from last month, but glad you're here now. And the first question I have for you is, what kind of experience do you hope library visitors will have when they walk through the doors of the library?
It is our goal, that is staff and volunteers, staff including Cynthia Burke and Mayploy Schwartz, that when people walk into the library doors, that they feel as if they're walking into their own living room. We like to think of the library as an all-around common ground for anyone who walks through its doors.
And so how is the library doing about accommodating everyone who walks through the doors?
There have been times when we have run out of seating. Now that there is an increase in the use of the library by people bringing in their own laptops or during this season just wanting to come in and be warm. About 12 years ago or so, we started working on what is now the Arizona Centennial Legacy Garden located behind the library, and we looked at that as a way of expanding space by bringing people outdoors into a comfortable environment to sit, visit, and read.
And so a lot has happened in the Legacy Garden in the last 12 years. Tell us about that.
It has been an evolving process. It began when the restoration of Katy Hall was complete and we had an empty space in the yard, and we considered what type of plantings to put in the garden and decided that plants that represented the era that the Patagonia Hotel was built, and those years were between 1901 and 1912, would help tell the story of the building itself.
Now, when you say the Patagonia Hotel, do you mean the Katy Hall building, what we now call Katy Hall?
It is now what we call Katy Hall and the adjoining rooms of Katy Hall where the library collection is held, save for the one former addition to the building. All the buildings that the books are housed in are old former hotel rooms.
Okay, let's stick with this garden idea for a minute, because I've got some other questions about that. So you chose plantings that were reflective of that period in Patagonia's history. Can you give us an idea of what some of those plants are?
The plants represent plants to this area, not necessarily only to Patagonia. Some of the plants that were brought over by settlers or early homesteaders to the area included white irises that were brought to Alto, Arizona, spirea, which was planted and nurtured beginning at the Apache Springs Ranch outside of Sonoyta, violets that were nurtured by Alvesa Hummel, an earlier Patagonia resident who used to actually play the alto sax for dances in Katy Hall. We have lilacs. We plan on putting in pomegranates, certain roses that were brought over and nurtured by early residents of the area.
And in the garden now, you don't have just plantings. There's some structures that are coming up. Would you describe those?
The garden now has a pathway, and thanks to volunteer labor under the direction of Jim Sullivan and Cliff Hirsch, we have a drip irrigation system and visiting birder from New Jersey, Bob Perna, supervised volunteers in putting in two brick patios. There is also the Ramada, which has tombstone roses growing over the top of it, and people have been donating benches, so now there's a comfortable seating space under the Ramada in the garden.
And so the library then is seeing that as additional seating space in addition to the spaces that are inside the building.
Yes, you can see people outside using their laptops, visiting, or just reading.
Okay, and so when they're using the laptops, are they accessing the library's wireless signal outside?
Yes, the library has 24/7 wireless access, which can be accessed anywhere outside around the library.
That's an amazing service for the community. I've seen people sitting in their cars sometimes working on their laptops.
Yes, it has been a wonderful addition to the library.
Okay, so that was only one of the solutions for the seating problem. Tell us about the very visible and evident other solution that's taking place in the front of the library.
If you have driven by the library or read the local newspapers, you will have heard about the Mary Rebecca Cady Reading Room Edition, which is being funded by John Henry Kendall, the grandson of John Henry Cady, who constructed the original Patagonia Hotel. Mr. Kendall was on the phone with me one day, or I was on the phone with Mr. Kendall one day, going over the library wish list. And in the past, I had asked for a newspaper rack, computer tables for the children's room. This time, he said to me, "Have you ever needed more space?" And I said, "Yes."
What an amazing question.
And hence, we are now in the midst of constructing the Mary Rebecca Cady Reading Room.
And what's the relationship of Mary Rebecca Cady to Mr. Kendall?
I have to get this right. It is his grandmother. Mary Rebecca Cady is John... No, it's his mother. His mother.
And did she ever spend time in Patagonia?
Yes, in the Patagonia Hotel.
Oh. And was he, when he was born, was the family living in Patagonia?
I do not believe Mr. Kendall was born in Patagonia. Uh-huh.
Well, it's a wonderful thing for this community that he has so much interest and dedication to this historic building and his family's legacy to make this kind of commitment.
Yes, it is a wonderful gift.
So how much space is the new addition going to be giving for seating?
There will be about 900 square feet of additional space, increasing the library size by about 30%. There will be seating for 16 people in the room, including outlets in the floor for those people using laptops, and also we'll be having a screen installed so the library can host viewings of films.
And will there be books in there too?
Yes, the nonfiction collection will be moved into the new room and will be arranged in more of a bookstore fashion with labeling, which we hope will ease people's access to the materials that they're looking for. This will also allow us more room in the original room, reading room, for spreading out books on the shelves and moving the children's chapter books as well as creating a more accessible young adult reading section in the original room.
So how will people access this new room? I mean, it's kind of on the front of the building, but how will they get to it?
You would walk into the original reading room, turn right, and where the windows currently are facing Duquesne will be two doorways into the new reading room.
And who designed this new building?
It was a combination of a conceived idea by Mr. Kendall, architect Arturo Vasquez doing the drawings, and contractor Fred Sang. So along with some assistance as the project progresses from Gary Gay, now a member of the Friends of the Library.
It sounds like a true community project with resources and ideas coming from many directions. Now, let's see, before we leave this idea of additional seating and the garden, I wanted to just mention the garden has been recognized in a couple of ways recently that have been really meaningful at statewide level recognition. Can you tell us about that?
The garden received designation from the State Historic Preservation Committee as a registered Arizona Centennial Legacy Project. It is also going to be featured in the Arizona League of Cities and Towns Fall Magazine. I was also recently approached by the Arizona Department of Tourism for photos from the garden. So it is our hope that people from many different places will have the opportunity to experience some of the history of our area when they visit Patagonia and our garden.
Okay, you mentioned early on when we were talking about the experience that you hope people will have when they come into the library, that you hope everyone will feel welcome in using the space. And how is the library truly a community library?
Without the community, Patagonia Library would not be. And here seems like an ideal place to give some credit to some of the people who have assisted in making the library and keeping the library what it is. We have the Friends of the Patagonia Library, consisting of Janet Winans, Gail Eifrig, Kathy Noaker, Jack Walsh, Gary Gay, Donna Federici, Andy Wood, Lou Schatz, and Kathleen James. Then we have the Global Friends. And those are the people that donate items for the Friends of the Library, book sales, or time spent during the book sales selling books. And those who participate in any of the Friends of the Library fundraisers. We also have the Library Advisory Board members, Anita C.W., Jim Sullivan, Kelly Fleming, Anu Tarahum, Clint Trafton, and Herman Quiroga, and Charlotte Lowe. And then there are even more volunteers. Judy Tandy, who keeps the magazine exchange outside the back of the library. Bonnie Hamlin, who sorts all the book donations that the Friends of the Library receive. Front desk people, Carolyn McIntosh, Sandra Powell, Jude, Phyllis Gordon, and Janet Winans. Apologies if I missed anyone. But I can't forget the light bulb changers like Bigfoot John, All Around Help, Joe Conniff, everyone who digs in and has dug in the library garden, and like Lee and Nathan, whomever happens to be in the library when a chore needs to be done.
That is an amazing amount of volunteer support for the library, and it's clear that this has been a major community effort for over many decades. So how else is the library supported in addition to the volunteer effort with funding?
The library receives funding from the county, the town of Patagonia, and the Friends of the Library. I also keep very busy writing grants so that we might enhance collections or spaces in the library.
And you mentioned the county supporting the library. How big is this library's service area?
This library service area, according to federal and state statistics, is about 925 people. Although we do serve a much greater population and have over 1,700 registered borrowers. And that does not include the visitors that come to Patagonia, whom we allow to borrow materials.
So people come from all over Santa Cruz County, or the Eastern County, to use the library?
The Eastern County, yes. We have borrowers from Sonoyta, Elgin, Canelo, but we also have visitors from all over the country and out of the country.
Well, how does our library's services and collections compare to other libraries of similar size?
We have a plethora of services that many libraries our size do not offer the community, their communities, or are not able to offer their communities. We have, through our website, which I urge people to visit if they have not as of yet, patagoniapubliclibrary.org, availability to several databases. Our most recent database edition is Teen Health and Wellness, which is an authoritative resource for teenagers to find out information on subjects ranging from anorexia to bullying. And it is also a great resource for adults to figure out or find out what teens are thinking now. Also, through the database link on our website, have access to scholarly journals, academic resources, and most recently, popular magazines such as National Geographic, Consumer Reports, PC Magazine. So if you're sitting around on a Sunday afternoon like I was today, I just poked around and I was able to find out which paper towel is truly the best.
And which website which magazine told you that?
Consumer Reports. Full text articles are available.
Now, I think that is really worth note, because the last time I wanted to look at Consumer Reports online, they wouldn't let me in. But so you're saying that because the library has a subscription to Consumer Reports or this access through this database, that we can get that information?
Yes, the State Library in Arizona makes these databases available to all libraries in Arizona. So simply by putting in our zip code, 85624, you will have access to a vast array of information, including resources for students in elementary through high school.
And so this is information that otherwise would have to be paid for in some cases.
Yes.
That's a wonderful resource. Now, so there are other kinds of services and materials that the library offers.
We talked about Wi-Fi availability earlier. The library also has subscriptions to over 40 periodicals. We offer fax service, copy service, and have 10 public access computers for people to use if they might not have a computer at home. This is in addition to our circulating collection, which includes print materials as well as audio and video materials.
Do you have a total number of items in the circulating collection? Or just books, maybe?
Total number of items ranges between 15 and 16,000. Not all of those are circulating. We do have topographical maps of the entire county, which we don't let out of the library, but you're welcome to use there.
Now, what about historical items from Patagonia's history? I know that there's a museum that's getting started, but does the library keep old newspapers or minutes or other kinds of things that tell us about our community's history?
We have a small archives, which was organized by Phyllis Leonard, and then Judd Marston took over that. We do have some older documents describing the history of Arizona. And as part of the library's mission, we are, until the time a museum is able to house documents, photographs, accepting donations of the sort.
Now, the library's website has really expanded, as you mentioned, with expanded the offerings that the library can give to the community. And one thing that I would like to mention now is a new partnership between KPUP and the library on the website. Recordings of this show are now posted. And would you like to tell us about how that got started?
Thank you, May Ploy, our website wizard. May Ploy was able to set up a link whereby all the recorded interviews from KPUP are now available on the library website. The library website has several tabs, one for KPUP, where you can hear the interviews, one for the town of Patagonia, where you can read the town general plan, another tab for the Patagonia Museum, where you can find out when next meetings are and other happenings, our database tab, and Friends of the Library tab. So we're hoping that people will use our website.
Well, and I think it is it's a testament to the approach of the library and your leadership in the way that you are welcoming new kinds of information that the community may need and incorporating that into what you're offering. And it's a great service to the community.
Yes, it does allow people who might otherwise not come into the library for that living room common ground feeling have access to much of the same information as people who do enter into the library.
Okay, and will you give that website again? So
PatagoniaPublicLibrary.org.
Okay, now we've talked a lot about the kinds of things that the library offers to adults, but what does the library offer to kids?
The library is a safe after-school haven for children, young adults. Although we've been seeing a decrease in the number of young children and families using the library and a decrease in the circulation of our picture books, we are seeing an increase in the use of library resources by middle school and high school students. They might come in to do homework, play video games, or just to hang out. We were fortunate enough to receive funding from a foundation, private foundation, which allowed, with teen input, to purchase comfy furniture, two additional computers for their use.
Now, you mentioned comfy furniture. Is the bathtub still in the kids' room?
The bathtub is still in the kids' room and does get used by people of all ages.
I wonder how many other libraries have bathtubs in the kids' room.
Can't answer that one.
Well, now the one issue that I've been hearing some talk in the community about is this idea of a library district. And I understand that the Santa Cruz County supervisors have proposed creating a library district in Santa Cruz County. Can you tell us what is a library district?
A library district under Arizona revised statutes can be formed by a county without a vote from the public. Funds are then procured through a secondary tax, which is levied on all property owners within the county. Those funds can only be used for library purposes within the county. There are currently 13 library districts within the state of Arizona. These 13 library districts, or within these 13 library districts, are 11 different organizational structures. So there's not a set way of setting up a district.
Okay, now, I may be asking you questions that you don't have answers to, because I know this issue is a relatively new one that a lot of people are still asking questions about and learning about. But do you know why it is that Santa Cruz County currently doesn't have a library district, and why the supervisors are thinking about forming one?
I do not know why one was not formed earlier. The Board of Supervisors' current belief or view, as I understand it, is that by forming a library district and levying the secondary tax, the funding that they currently give to libraries will no longer be taken out of their general fund. Rather, they would just come out of this secondary tax.
So, in other words, it would help them with some budget issues.
Yes.
Do you have any sense of how or if a library district would affect the Patagonia town budget?
Julie's putting me on the spot here. If the Library Advisory Board makes the recommendation to the Town Council to join a library district, or if the Council decides on its own to join a library district, this, in essence, could free up some of the funds from the town's budget that they currently support the library with.
Okay. I know that there are lots of things that, you know, unanswered questions and things that we just don't know right now, but is there anything else that you can share with us about how the library is reviewing this proposal and what's coming up that the community might want to know about relative to this?
The Library Advisory Board has been researching both the pros and cons of joining a library district, the different impacts, positive and negative, it might have on Patagonia Library. We are also in the process of looking at organizational structures of other library districts.
Other ones in the state of Arizona.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, like, is it usually one district per county?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So there's some examples out there to be considered.
Yes, there are 11 different organizational structures. And this does not preclude creating a 12th organizational structure.
That's good to keep in mind. Is there anything else about the library district idea or issue that you think our listeners know? Okay. I look forward to hearing more as time goes on, and as more answers are found about that. Now, Abby, you mentioned some trends when you were talking about the way that children are using the library, or families with young children are using the library. You've been associated with this library for many, many years, going on two decades probably. And I'm just wondering if there are any other trends that you see that at the library that also kind of gives us an idea about trends generally taking place in our community.
We have recently seen an increase in the use of print Spanish language materials. There seemed to be a lull in that for many years, but a resurgence is happening, and we're responding to that by updating our Spanish language print collection. We're also seeing an increase in the use of computers for employment research, resume writing. We actually have had someone use library computer for an online interview. And we're seeing an increase in the number of people, students, using computers that are taking online classes. There's also been an increase in the number of people coming in asking for library staff to proctor them while they take online exams.
So that sounds like the library is providing services for local people to expand their educational opportunities, but also it has an economic development component. If people are relying on library resources to help them find jobs and interview jobs, the library is contributing to the local economy in that way.
We hope so.
I'd like, if you're willing, to ask you a little bit more personal question. It's really clear that over the years you've put so much extra time and energy into the library over and above the requirements of the job. And I was just wondering, what is it about the library that causes you to do that? Why are you so committed?
I think the library is so similar to many other things in this community, and it's not unlike the many volunteers that make Patagonia the community that it is. Without the dedication of volunteers in this community, Patagonia would be a different place. But here's my chance to put in a plug for Cynthia Burke and Mayploy Schwartz, who both work above and beyond their job descriptions. Cynthia is amazing, the recycling queen, I call her. And every time you walk in the library door and the pathway is clear of leaves, it's because she gets out there in the mornings and sweeps the pathways. And as I've stated before, Mayploy has been this incredible asset to the technological capabilities of the library.
So, thinking now kind of towards the future, are there any upcoming events in the library that that you want to alert people to?
The major upcoming event is the Invitational Writers Roundup, sponsored by the Friends of the Library, and that will be taking place mid-February. Have dates and more information as that time comes closer.
Okay. Anything else?
And the opening of the new Mary Rebecca Cady Reading Room.
And what schedule? What's that schedule?
We're hoping that will happen in February also.
That's fast.
That's right.
That's really fast. I mean, when the groundbreaking was in October?
November.
November. And then if people want to get in touch with you with a specific question, what's the best way?
They can email the library at info@patagoniapubliclibrary.org, or we still use the telephone, 394-2010, or walk in, stop us on the street, ask us a question.
Well, Abby, we've covered a lot of ground in this interview about the all-round common ground at the library, and I was wondering if there was anything that I should have asked you that I didn't, that we've missed.
Nothing I can think of now, but probably will as soon as I walk out the door.
Well, that's the way I always do. Well, thank you so much for being here today and for giving us this broad overview of the library's activities in so many areas. And we, as a community, are really grateful for all the services the library is providing.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Community Talk every other Sunday at 5 o'clock on KPUP, Patagonia 100.5 FM. Or, thanks to May Ploy and Abby, you can listen to recorded shows now on the library's website, patagoniapubliclibrary.org.